As someone who switched from a Commanders fan to an Eagles fan halfway through my life because I'm mentally ill, I know it can be a logistical nightmare getting a new jersey collection, changing your bumper sticker, finding a new family because they realize they raised a traitor.
Traitor? No, far from it. That sounds like solid decision making that fits in perfectly in Philly.
I get really confused out here because I think people see me as maybe abrasive or obnoxious, whereas in Philly, I'm like shy.
All right, she's not from Philly, but she certainly has embraced our rough, no-holds-barred attitude.
And it's part of the reason I love performing in Philly and love Philly people is that, like, there's no elephants in the room. Comedians, ultimately, we're just sort of like, Harvard's a great school. Yes, but Epstein did have an office there.
She's a comedian, a podcaster, an author, and quickly becoming one of us. She's Whitney Cummings, and she's here on The Pulse.
We'll also teach you what to order at Wawa on game day and how to use the word John. Just kidding, no one knows what that means.
Guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse, bringing in people who are doing cool things. We get to hear their story. We're meeting some of the people that perhaps we have been fans of or seen their work and actually get to spend some time with them. And today we actually get to claim her. So Whitney Cummings joins us now. Comedian, created shows, podcast, memoirs. What don't you do?
Root for the Dallas Cowboys.
See? And that's what I was about to say. And we can claim her as a... So you're not from Philly, but you love Philly.
Okay, so I went to college in Philadelphia, went to Penn, so came there when I was 19 years old, and I grew up D.C., Virginia, and I was cursed with being raised a what is now called the Commanders.
Right.
And so that was what I had to grow up around, so, you know, severe childhood trauma. And then I moved to Philly, and I remember being lost when I first got there. I'm on 18th and JFK, right between JFK and Market, mm-hmm. and I can't find where I'm going. And when they say it's the city of brotherly love, it's not a joke. Everyone's like, can we help you? Are you lost? All these dudes were like, hey, let me help you, whatever. And they're like, so where are you from? I'm like, D.C. And they're like,
oh,
okay. Find where you're going on your own. Like, they just went from being so nice and so warm to being like, good luck.
That's about right.
Over there, kid.
Yeah, that's on brand.
And I just remember being like, okay, I guess I need to kind of pretend to be an Eagles fan here because this is not a warm reception. And then I saw the way that RG3 was treated. I didn't like it. I didn't like what was going on with RG3 on the kid because I'm loyal to a fault. I am not the kind of person who's like, I'm just going to new team, new button. I started really questioning what was going on with the Commanders. It's still hard to say the new name. I'm trying to not get you guys canceled.
Yeah.
And then I just was like, all right, I'm going to go to some Philly games. I'm going to go to some Eagles games. And I was like, these are my people. These are people who would rather be hated by everyone than not, you know, support their team. And I remember just being like, oh, I just don't want other people to like me. And I remember a friend of mine, Eagles fan, Mike Jackson, he goes, no, they don't like us and we don't care.
We don't care. That's what Jason Kelce said.
Care.
A whole song and about it. No one likes us. We don't care.
We don't care. And I was like, that's my thing. Comics, we can't care too much, you know? So I was like, oh, you're my people. So then I, you know, slowly became an Eagles fan. I am now engaged to a professional athlete from Philadelphia.
Okay.
And we go Birds. And, you know, I have some family in Texas, and we don't speak to the ones in Dallas.
Good. That's solid decision making, right there. They're
it's not politics that decides this house.
Yeah.
Left, right, we don't care. It's Eagles, Dallas.
It's perfect explanation. So we had just on a side note. There's a professional football player named Zaire Franklin, and he's from Philly. He played for the Colts, just got traded to the Packers, and he was saying that N'Kobe Dean, who was our linebacker a minute ago, told him that the definition of Philly is if they love you, they'll take a bullet for you, but they also might have been the one who fired the gun. And that was one of the players who was explaining to you know, kind of the beauty of all of that. And when he said it, I was like, I had to own it because that makes sense, right?
That's it. Look, it's not a religion. It's a religion remixed with like a cult remixed. It's very hard to explain, you know, but the thing that I value the most in my home, in my life, is something I'm about to show you.
Okay.
Now, this is a bedazzled Eagles bra.
Okay.
This is how we do it over here in this house. Okay.
Yeah.
This is how we do it. This and my Eagles coach's hat.
Nice.
Yes, that I got at the season opener when I came. It was September 4th, the season opener against Dallas.
I love
Spit Gate.
I love
you
this.
Know?
You so offered to pay Jalen Carter's fine or part of it.
That's right, I did. Which, by the way, when we were there, we didn't see it. We didn't know what was going on. We didn't see that he had actually spit first. And right. I'm like, dude, if we had all known that we didn't see the replay till later. But remember, halfway through the game, it started raining and they stopped the game.
Yeah.
That was God spitting back on the Cowboys. God saw it. Even God is an Eagles fan.
I remember it was such a thing here because everyone was sitting there going, dude, what are you doing? Like, you're too important. And then authentic Philly, when you saw Dak spit in the general direction, that was all we needed. We were like, oh, all right.
He did the right thing.
Completely forgot right about thing. The fact that you're spitting on somebody. And it's like, well, he spit first. Like, what are you supposed to do?
This is I would Philly. Rather have us have lost the game than him not spit back.
Right. Okay. All right.
I'd rather lose than let Dallas have a loogie in the direction of a king. How dare you?
Well, and we won. All right. So talk about some of this. We started off, let's go Birds. We established the important things and the foundation that matters. But you mentioned UPenn, you know,
yes.
And that was kind of the journey. I crinkled up the face. Uh-oh. So what got you on this path? Like, you're at UPenn. Were you always pursuing comedy and creating shows and all of that?
I'm going to level with you. It's just a bad childhood. It's people come up. They're like, my family. Okay. My dad, Commanders fan. My mom from Texas. I grew up. Yes, they were both alcoholics. Yes, it was a toxic marriage, but also it's like, imagine growing up with an Eagles fan dad and Dallas fan mom. That's sort of what I grew up in. So when you grow up trying to make everybody happy and make everybody laugh and, you know, use humor to cope, you know, people ask me all the time because there's so many comedians and or funny people getting big on TikTok. And they're like, how do I get, you know, become a comic? I'm like, dude, you can't make your childhood worse in retrospect. So there's a certain level of just sort of genetic need to make people laugh. And I'm relentless when it comes to that. So that's always been what I wanted to do. And it's hard to explain because I've gotten this question my whole career and I still don't have a great answer. There was never a plan B. As soon as I saw that comedy was a job, I was like, oh, that's what I do. And I had to do a lot of other jobs to pay for it because it pays nothing, you know, sort of in the beginning. But yeah. I grew up in an environment, and it's part of the reason I love performing in Philly and love Philly people, is that like there's no elephants in the room. Comedians, ultimately, we're just sort of like, Harvard's a great school. Yes, but Epstein did have an office there. We're the people who have to say it. We can't not say it. And if you don't like us, we don't care. Because the truth matters more than anything. That's sort of the common denominator, I think, in all comedians is like an obsession with justice. It's not like, oh, I made friends laugh. I was the class clown. It's like you have to leave your house at 10 p.m. to go get in front of a bunch of drunk strangers and be like, nobody thinks it's weird that we never went back to the moon. It's like, it's an obsession.
I feel like it depends on how, and I don't know, because, you know, I'm not that funny, but I feel like it is one of those things where it depends on how you're wired. It's almost like athletes who
That's
play
it.
In
That's
Philadelphia.
It. That's
Cause
it.
Some people it. Hate it. Cause it is, you know, Philly is going to be real. They're going to tell you how you feel. Can be That's a little right. bit abrasive. And if you're wired that way, then you love it and let's go. These are my people, like you've said. If you don't, then, you know, I guess it is disrespect when I say, then you're Ben Simmons and you can't handle it, you know, and I got to get out of this city.
Imagine coming from Philly to LA.
Yeah.
Where, like, I'm the person, if I have food in my teeth, tell me. If I'm embarrassing myself, thank you. That's called love, right? And you come out to LA, and if you tell the truth, you're triggering people, you're upset, you're offending people, you're, you know, so it, I'm very much a bull in a china shop out here, and Philly is the one place where I'm like, people think I'm like demure in Philly, you know? So it's, I think Philly is, it's also such a combination of the most compassionate people on earth that sometimes come off the most rough, but that's what love is. That's what being human is. And like, people can handle it. You know, yeah. Being out in LA, it's like everyone's made of glass and everybody's so fragile, but their whole thing is like, women are the strong. Then why can't I say I have to leave? I gotta go. Why are you going to fall apart when I tell you the truth? Or, you know, so it's, I get really confused out here. Because I, you know, I think people see me as maybe abrasive or obnoxious, whereas in Philly, I'm like shy. So I love coming back to Philly because I feel like I can like be myself and, you know, say what's what. The one thing though, I do have a question for you because okay. I'm a little bit of a fraud when it comes to being like, I very much identify as being from Philly, even though I was raised in, you know, born in DC, in Virginia, my whole like teen years, and then Philly. What is a John?
It's pretty much anything. It's a
it's
noun.
A thing.
Yeah, but it's a thing.
But it's a thing. So me and my fiance, he's from Langhorne.
Right.
We are
that's
obsessed
John.
With opening a store that's called John's, and it's only things that are John's.
Okay.
But we're in disagreement about it, which is I thought a John is a thing that everyone knows what it is, but it doesn't have a name. Like, you know those toys that are like clackers or like two ball and you just clack them?
Right, that clack John.
It's like a John, the clack, is that called clack John?
Yeah, clack John, the John, I don't know. But that would work.
Okay, so this is not a John, this is a bracelet.
But it could be. So Henry, I'm assuming, is what? That's your fiance?
That's my son. My fiance is Chris Cole.
Okay,
Philly so. Philly skateboard legend.
Okay, so then that bracelet, that's your son's John.
So my son, it's my bracelet, okay, but it's a bracelet.
Right. I mean, it's allowed. These things exist. Like, they're not things that we don't know what they are. You're just calling them something. You are, you know, you're our Philly John or that comedy John or,
you know.
A person
can be a John.
Yes. The person oftentimes is your John.
But does that mean you forgot their name?
No, it does not mean that. We know what it is. We had another
it's not like
comedian.
This guy.
Skeet Carter, who was on, and he launched a popcorn brand that's Pop John. And he has it out there. Now, so it can be any number of things.
Okay.
You just can't, you can't, like, you can't force it. Like, you can't try to make it something else. Like, that.
Want some John?
I don't know, that John girl. That
John anyone?
John girl, right. That's trying too hard.
Hey, I'm going to give him a call on my John.
Right. Like that.
That's forcing it.
Like, technically, that would work if you're fumbling to remember what it is. But
so
that would be trying
like,
to.
Can you pass me the drink, John? Like, it's I can't remember the name of the thing.
Yeah, hand me that.
Where's the John that,
come on, that John right there. Hand me that.
Because like, once you have a kid, it's John's everywhere. It's all parts of toys. Yeah. You don't know where. It's just John City.
And that's why it's hard in Philly, because there's no real definition of it. You just know when somebody's doing it wrong.
Hilarious.
No, so you can open the shop. Anything that is like cool, unique, you know, kind of authentic, different.
Oh, this John.
That John. Right. You can sell. Hmm. You can sell all kinds of stuff.
But if something has a name that, like, you wouldn't need to struggle to pull and you call it a John, you're kind of forcing it. You're kind of corny.
So there was, yes, there was, I don't know, I'm going to get in trouble for this. But there was, and we can edit this out.
The only good entertainment is when people think they're getting in trouble and they're not.
Well, I'm going to because I don't know if they're one of our advertisers. But there was an attorney who launched a whole marketing campaign with billboards. And his name is John. And he put all these billboards around town called John Morgan. And he made his name.
J-A-W-N.
Yes. But his name's John. He was
That's
just
funny.
Like, I'm John Morgan.
That's
and
funny.
And people in Philly
like
were
it.
Like, it's funny, but it's not. Like, dude, you're from Florida. Like, you don't have any connection to here.
Ooh.
You're just forcing it too much.
If he's from Philly, it's funny and corny, like lawyer humor.
Right.
But if he's from a different place, that's tough. Right.
Like you're trying to talk to us. It's almost like you're condescending to us.
You know what he should say? He should go like, it should have been John, whatever his name was, but you can call me John, J-A-W-N.
There you go. Like then people might have embraced it.
Been like, but you can call me John if you want. Like,
right. That would have worked.
That would have worked.
All right. I feel like you're our John now, though. We can.
I don't. There's a couple things in Philly. Like I'm also because I'm so hardcore. I don't want to, you know, Eagles fan. I don't want to be one of those people who's like, I'm a Philly. I'm very humble about the things I don't know. When me and my fiance go into Wawa, I am lost. Right. Okay. I'm lost. Look, when I went to college in Philly, I was right next to a Wawa. One night, had a little too much to drink. I don't know if this place is still open. Bar Noir on 18th and Samsung. I don't think it is.
I don't think so.
It was a bar that was right downstairs. Like it was like right next to that big Anthropology, mm-hmm. like right at Rittenhouse Square. And had one too many limoncellos. And I went to Wawa at 2 a.m. and got an apple. And because I was like, I'm just going to try to be healthy. You know, after you've like done something really unhealthy, you're like, I'll have 4 Big Macs and a Diet Coke.
Yeah,
so I was like, I'm going to go to Wawa. Get an apple. I eat the apple. The produce at Wawa is like insanely. It's like, oh, so delicious. I wake up the next morning. I'm like, I want another apple. And I go down to Wawa and I go to where the apples are and they're all covered in like saran wrap. And I was like, were these all covered in saran wrap last night also? Because I had just eaten it. And yeah. I ate the apple with the saran wrap on it. And like, I have a little bit of a like PTSD around Wawa, but when I go in, my dude's like, bah, bah, bah. He's got his soup, he's got the chowder, he's got the sandwich.
You gotta order a hoagie.
I don't have my order.
You gotta work on that. You should ask people at your show when you're coming to town, ask them for the John definition, ask them what your Wawa hoagie order is supposed to be.
Because I have very much respect. In America, something I love about this country is every state is its own country. And you have to know the language when you go in, and especially be. So I was in Boston once, and I was at the Wilbur Theater, and look, it is what it is, and I can't believe I'm kicking this up again. But I was on stage, I was talking about Tom Brady or something, and I called them the Boston Patriots.
Yeah, that's bad. But from Philly, we're okay with it.
It's not that
bad. It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
It took me 20 minutes to get them back. I mean, it was
because they take it seriously. That would be like insulting the Eagles. If we were the Camden Eagles, somebody would sit back and go, what is she talking about?
The mainline Eagles. Well, it was like the New England. So it was that is my biggest fear is like stepping in it and just saying the wrong thing that is sort of, you know.
Nah, you'll be fine. I think as long, at least in Philly, I think if you're owning it. Philly, again, we will take the bullet for you. Just make
best.
Sure you haven't done something to make them fire it. All right. So you're coming to town.
Yep.
April 3rd, Miller Theater. You're on tour. It's called the Big Baby Tour. We're getting a little taste of it, but what are we going to see when you come to town?
You know, look, I think that when, you know, people that have known me since I've been doing stand-up, I think it's been about 20 years since I've been touring, and I'm just excited for people to see the version of me that actually doesn't care, because even though I think my reputation is like, she'll say it, like that was me caring so much about getting in trouble, getting canceled, people being mad at me, coming off to this, to that. Once you have a kid, there's no energy to care. And you see the world in such a different way. I think I've always been, this is going to sound a little like, you know, I don't love self-indulgent talking about myself, but I know how to write jokes. Like I've done the roast. Like I know, you know, once you've been doing comedy this long, you're funny.
Right.
But once you have a kid, there's a new level of insightful and mature that I don't think I could have gotten to without having a kid. And I'm just excited for people to see the version of me that's not just talking about nightmare Tinder dates with men that have chain wallets and wear ropes as belts. I'm excited for people to see the version of me that's not dating a man that's gay and I don't know yet. Like, I'm just excited to be talking about things that I think that, you know, I didn't have a kid till 40. And I feel like you know, by the time I was 30, 35, a lot of people were like, all right, girl, we're married now. And like, you're still on Hinge. Like, we can't like catch up, you know? So I feel like I finally caught up and am, you know, sort of like digging into topics that people are really scared to talk about. And I think that people can handle it. I believe that, especially comedy fans, they don't get offended. They don't want to fire people. They don't storm down to the, you know, HR. Those are the dorks. And we are so upset. Comedy's gotten so reactive to comment sections that are truly like 30 dorks and a bunch of bots. And I refuse to let them decide what we do and don't talk about, because most people are adults and they can handle it and they know the difference between a joke and a statement. So, you know, and I think comedy is like just more fun than ever right now, because we've been led to believe that we're all so different and we're so divided. But like, when you get in a room with a couple thousand people, no one knows how anyone voted. I mean, in Philly, you probably can take a guess.
Yeah.
But like, we're all in the same room laughing at the same stuff. Like, comedy is all about going like, what unites all of us? And there's something not only fun, obviously, about it, like, and funny and all the things that comedy should be, but also like, heartwarming and oddly wholesome. Like, it gives me hope, because if you're on the internet all day, you would think that no one gets along and everybody hates each other. And you go to a comedy show and you're like, oh, dude, like,
this is so, like, you're so different in that interpretation than a lot of the comedians that I've had on. I think that a lot of people own that level of responsibility. Like, they recognize that it is their responsibility to tell the story, to try to share it, to talk about the uncomfortable or the controversial. But you're the first person who has kind of flat out said people can handle it, you know, and people can kind of come together, because we feel perhaps more divided than ever.
It's not true. It's a total mirage. It's not true. Yeah, I mean, there was this thing called the Civil War. I feel like we were slightly more divided then.
That's probably fair.
But we all have the same thing in common. We're all online every day thinking we're divided. We're unified in that. But I just don't think it's true. And I think that, you know, I mean, touring for me is like, you know, this is what I always wanted to do. I know that comedians, myself included, you get specials, you do the roast, and all of a sudden you get offered TV shows, and then you kind of lose the plot. You're like, you know, but live comedy is what this is all about. And I think if you were to be on the internet all day, that's the data you would get. But that's why comedy is supposed to be live. It's not supposed to be delivered on Twitter. It's not supposed to be written out for the, you know, viewer to deliver in their own head. We're not supposed to send a joke to someone at their job at 2 o'clock on Tuesday for them to read in between two horrifying news stories. Of course they're going to think it was offensive. They're, you know, it's supposed to be delivered by the comedian at night after the audience has had a couple maker's marks and been drinking since 5. Comedy's supposed to be delivered live. It's not supposed to be read by the viewer during the day. I mean, that's like what we're doing on Twitter and stuff, is we're just like ambushing people with jokes at their work, and then they have to deliver the, you know, the joke in their own head, and they're not going to deliver it the way we deliver it.
Yeah. So you love this. I mean, it comes across. So you've created shows that was kind of trailblazing. Then you've done the comedy that was kind of trailblazing in the way that you were doing it. You were one of the first, though, who, you know, started doing the podcasts and some of the digital and like the DIY kind of stuff that now everybody is doing. You love this?
I love that you said that, because to me, it's about, you know, getting to the audience. There's all these gatekeepers. There used to be the studio and the network. And to get to the audience, you had to go through all these people that are in the Epstein files to just talk to the...
Just slip that kind of stuff in there and keep it going.
To the fans? Yeah. You know what I mean? You had to, you know, you'd have to go through all these, you know, pedophiles in order to get to the people you want to roast pedophiles with. So now we don't have to do that anymore. And comedians, it's really like, you know, it was so elitist for so long. It was like, hold on, I just want to be able to, you know, be in a dark room with a bunch of strangers saying things we're not supposed to say so we can all have a catharsis and, you know, not feel so alone. And then it's like, now I have to talk to this billionaire and convince him to give me a show and let, you know, and do some satanic ritual on an island. Can I just tell jokes? Is that so now with the internet and, you know, and there's always going to be, you know, I mean, on YouTube, you can't say certain things and there's always going to be a thing. Yeah. And I think it's just on us to creatively get around it instead of complain about it. And I think there's been a lot of pouting that's just like, well, everyone's offended by everything. That's everyone. Like, anyone that makes a comment on your social media, honestly, positive or negative, is nuts. So we gotta just, the adults need to just go like, it's my job to make people laugh. I never expected everyone to like me. I think that's also the advantage that I have. Being a female comedian, you start out sort of, the default is you shouldn't be here. You're not funny. So even being hated by like half the internet, I'm like, I'm winning. You know, I think that that's the advantage to being a female comedian, is no one thought I could do it. You know, I got so much negativity from the beginning that I was kind of prepared for the internet. I think it was more the male comics who were like, these people don't like me. I'm like, oh, this is the first time you've ever had someone say you're not funny. Like, welcome. You know, so I think that there's a resilience that comes with being a female comic and being able to sort of handle the internet in a different way.
Like, I really do feel like you should have been born in Philly. Like, there, because it is a mindset. And that's, I don't think that that's easy for people to do. I think that we are such a sensitive, social media has made people, what's Mike Tyson's quote? It has made people way too comfortable disrespecting people and not getting punched in the mouth for it. And I think it happens so often that it's hard, especially, like, I don't have, you've got 2 million followers on just Instagram. I don't, but I see a lot more of the comments, you know, than you probably do. And it is challenging sometimes to not internalize some of the stuff that people feel constantly like they have the right to express.
Like, people are wrong. We have to let people be wrong. Like, why would everyone be correct all the time? Some people are Dallas Cowboys fans. I don't know what to tell you.
That's facts.
So if you're going to come at me and say a joke's offensive, like, you're probably like into the Cowboys. You know, like, it's fine. Like, I don't have to mess with, you don't have to mess with me. Like, I don't need everybody. I don't want everybody. I think the key is always not about going, I want everyone to love me. I want the right people to hate me. There's certain people, if they like you, you should take a good hard look at yourself.
Right. Why am I on that team?
Yeah, there's certain people where I'm like, whoa, if you like me, I'm probably being fake. If you like me, you know? So I think that, yeah, that to me is very uniquely Philly, being like, I don't need everyone to like me. And why would I want that? That would mean I'm boring and not taking risks. You know, I just want the right people to like me and or think I'm funny or come to shows or, you know, so to me, it's boxing. It's always boxing. And when people come at me, it just, you know, we need adversity. I think that the worst thing for artists and comedians, and I can't speak for other, you know, jobs, because I have athletes, I'm sure what you do, is like, keep challenging me, keep coming at me. How else am I going to stay funny? How else am I going to stay in the adversity that, you know, gives me, puts the fire under me to make me better? I've seen so many comedians, my heroes, a lot of them, and they get really successful and they have assistants and they never hear no, and they don't see their negative comments and they stop being funny. They stop having grit, you know? You see Bill Burr actively subject himself to, he'll come to the Comedy Store, he'll say something super out of line and lose the crowd. Because he's like, I gotta dig myself out of this hole. Because he's so beloved now that people are just gonna laugh, you know? So I saw Chris Rock do it once. He came to the Comedy Store, he was preparing for the Oscars, and he came on stage and he was like, you know, sorry, there was traffic, and everyone started laughing. And he was like, I saw on his face, he was kind of like, you guys can't just laugh at everything I say. Like, how am I supposed to know?
It was practice.
So, yeah, I think it's good. I think it's this whole thing where comedians are like, we should have free speech, but no one else should. Why can't the person in your comments have free speech, too? Everyone should, you know, be able to say what they want to say. And if it's about me, fine, you know?
This is pretty cool. I have enjoyed this. I'm looking at the clock, and we can't keep you all day. I could talk to you all day. So we need to, at some point, we're telling people about the show. We have done that. What is next for you? Because you already have a book, already created shows, already on tour, already have a podcast, already have 2 million followers. Like, what's next?
I'm planning a wedding with a man from Philadelphia who has a tattoo of the Fanatic.
That's really Philadelphia.
Tried to find a wedding planner who will make the love sign to go behind us. And you know, it's really trying to plan a wedding with a Philly guy is not a game. I have family from Dallas. Can they come to the wedding? can they, I don't know what to do with that. So it's really a seating chart with a bunch of Eagles fans and a couple Dallas fans I'm trying to finagle. Otherwise touring, doing a podcast, some other like big things coming up, and you'll know when you know, because I never know when I'm allowed to say anything, and I'll say it and get in trouble.
Yeah, we don't want to get you in trouble.
I think it's also right now, it's important to artfully kind of go away every now and then. So I tried to kind of go away when I was pregnant, have a kid, let my mental software update, and then come back, because people get sick of us. We need to have a little mystery too.
Okay. I think the dress code, as long as they don't wear Dallas Cowboys gear, they should be okay.
Here's the problem with Dallas people is they want to fight. They want to fight.
They don't want to fight Philly.
I don't know. These are delusional psychopaths.
That's actually true. Yeah.
These are dyslexic emotionally. They think the score is opposite. They think they're winning when they're losing. Like, these people are sick. So I don't know what I'm gonna do. But my guy is coming to Philly with me, and he's a skateboarder. He started at Love Park, which, by the way, did you know that Love Park was designed by Kevin Bacon's dad?
I'll tell you, the reason I know that is because Kevin Bacon was on the show. I did not know that previously. Kevin and his brother came on. The Bacon brothers were touring. They both came in and told that story.
So random.
Yeah.
So sick.
Yeah, kind of.
You know, and I don't even want to say it out loud because this area code is already getting way too expensive, but we're going to look at some real estate around Pennsylvania also.
Nice. All right. You let us know when you're coming into town. Maybe you can come in live, help us co-host the show.
I'm coming in Thursday night, and we're staying the weekend.
All right, well, then we got to get you in. Maybe you can come.
I have a son. Friday. We're going to go to the Please Touch Museum. We're going to do the whole deal.
All right, sounds good.
I've never really done Philly as a tourist, and I'm going to do it with my son.
I think it's going to be a blast. Whitney Cummings, we end every episode of The Pulse. The theme of the show is use your voice for good. So I ask everybody, what does that phrase? It could be funny. It could be slap a Cowboys fan. I don't know. What does use your voice for good mean to you?
Use my voice for good. Get birds. Fuck Dallas. Can you use that one?
We can be about that. So we could make that work.
Okay.
And I think that will be appealing to Philly fans.
Whitney
Cummings, this has been fun. Thank you very much. I appreciate you spending time with us.
This has been fun.
This is fun. No, seriously, this was fun.
Fun.
We could keep talking. It was fun. It was informative. I invited you to come in. Clearly, I enjoyed this conversation.
Dude, this has been a blast. Like, it's so actually refreshing. Please leave this in if you want. I love doing podcasts. I love my friends that have podcasts. But when you are talking to like a trained TV interviewer, it's such a different experience. You know, it's just like refreshing to sort of be able to talk to pros. Not that I don't love going to Mark Maron's garage and being yelled at for 45 minutes, but like, this is like, we didn't have to prank call your mom. Like, it's just, it's nice to just be on a real show every now and then.
Guys, thanks so much for listening to the Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast today with Whitney Cummings, comedian, show creator, author. What else has she done? Birds fan, Eagles fan. Podcaster, yes, thank you. I had fun. I hope you did as well. She's all over the place and might get me canceled, but it was worth the conversation. I hope you enjoyed it. Do me a favor, like, subscribe, follow, whatever it is that pops up on your screen so you get a notification every week when another episode of The Pulse comes out. You can follow me on social media at Bill A. Fox 29, and download the Fox Local app. That way, all of our shows right there on demand at your fingertips. Watch them whenever you like. I had fun. Hope you did as well. And I leave you today, as I always do, reminding you whenever you can, use your voice for good, and have a good one.